Croeso, and welcome to Tales of Wales Throwback Thursdays. We're doing this because we recently noticed that we've hit a real purple patch in terms of listeners, and we have a whole new bunch of you. So diolch yn fawr to begin with, thank you. But as we've been going now for a year and a half, we noticed that the early episodes haven't had as many downloads or as listens as some of our later ones. So we thought every Thursday we'd play a snippet, a wee little pipette, from our earlier episodes, so you can get a bit of the old flavour for what they were about.
Yeah, a little I know I say this a lot, the old sizzle reel, if you like. Oh, the sizzle reel.
Spitting, it's sizzling.
It's sizzling, it's fucking hot, baby. It's hot.
Flaming hot.
Yeah. But no, like you said, we wanted to give a little pint-sized epi, as you called it before. We went on this, and I'm going to steal it now.
Yeah, and I saw that from another podcast, so...
Well, theft within theft.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
What do they say? What's that quote where they say, like, so, an artist plagiarizes, a real artist steals.
Imitation is the highest form of flattery. Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna do a little mini sort of app every Thursday from now on. That's like a throwback to our old episodes. And then yeah, if you guys like the sounds of it, you can go back and revisit it.
So yeah, we'll do like a 10-minute clip from what might be a funny part from there. Then within the podcast description, we'll have a link to that episode. So episode one about Bad TV. Someone got in touch with us saying, oh, you should do Bad TV. And I was going to reply, oh, dear boy, we've already done him. But then I realized that's like fucking...
goddamn stupid son of a bitch. We've already done it.
But that's like 70 episodes ago. Or like, you know, fucking eight time, man. That's bare time ago.
Bare time, bro.
So like, so we thought maybe if people don't know our early episodes, we'll just do intros and then... a little snippet from the episode, and then you can find the rest of the info within the podcast notes. And it will also be the title of the episode.
Right. There we go. That's kind of summed it up.
Yeah. So, Dirk and Grandor, thanks for your support. You're the best.
Thanks, I love as you. Always.
Sorry,
guys.
My one, then. So, my last film recommendation is... It's not even a recommendation, really, because I'm sure most people have seen this. But I couldn't do a thing about Wales on film and not mention Zulu.
That's why I didn't put Zulu as one of mine. I knew 100% you'd have it as yours. Yeah.
It's a film I when I was about like six, five, six, seven. So I was just outside of Maitland, like just outside of the early years of what's it called, nursery. And I started like year one, year two. I used to watch Zulu weekly. The video, I burnt the video how much I used to watch it. I was fucking obsessive around it. Mm. And it was just such a cool thing. Because of all, like, just... I watched, like, cartoons. And then you watch this fucking massive battle. And I also, like, it's hard to comprehend what actors are. And I just thought this is just the most bizarre thing. And also being a child, like, I don't know. Maybe not the most cool thing, but just it was just such a... epic film to watch, and I still watch it way too young.
Absolutely. It was like before Lord of the Rings Helm's Deep came out, isn't it? That's like what it is, you know, is your first iteration to a siege film. And so that's I absolutely credit that to you fucking well, you love siege films.
I love siege films. But so as a background, there's a film that came out in 1964, but it holds up so well. Like, the practical effects are amazing, the acting from the main cast and the extras is just insane. And mostly because the extras aren't actually actors. They're members of Zulu tribes, so they're not acting at all. And there's a story about how 150 British soldiers, 30 of whom were sick and wounded in this field hospital, successfully held off a force of 4,000 Zulu warriors. The story follows the day after a morning battle where the British got obliterated by the Zulus. And it was a huge British army with cavalry and cannons, and you know they fought with everything they had, and they lost the Zulus. And then you cut to here, where it's a hospital and a church and some soldiers who didn't quite make the cut to go to the actual war. And it's this amazing, bombastic, against all odds film, beautifully shot with the best diegetic and non-diegetic score. And most of the soldiers in the film are portrayed as being Welsh from the South Wales Borderers, the 24th Regiment of Foot. And this is like our Braveheart. It's rousing.
Yeah.
And it's like, it makes you feel like it's shit, it's us against the masses. But then you do realise as well, in reality, the Zulus are the good guys, and we shouldn't have been there in the first place.
I was going to say, it's a real damning thing of like colonisation and all that sort of thing. But in terms of, if you're just looking about like a Welsh force fighting off like a much bigger
Well, that's the thing. I think what it captures,
quite cool.
I think what it captures mentally is that siege mentality that we might sometimes feel in Wales. It's like we're a small nation, but we're still here. You know, and obviously in reality, we shouldn't have been in their country. We shouldn't have been shooting people in their own country.
No, of course not.
But this film is set up like we're just a bunch of lovely Welsh lads in the field tending the cattle and having a song. And there's
just tending to the patience, my lord.
There is a scene where they have cattle on this like field hospital, and after one battle, the farmer, like Owen, goes to go check on the cattle, and the calf has been shot, and he goes, "Well, who's going to milk your mother now then?" And he's like, he's clearly a farmer from back home, and he's all like, he's thinking about, and then it's mad. It's the contrast between him being like this caring, like he really cares for this herd, and then the next minute he's having to fucking shoot people.
Absolutely shooting, yeah, the Zulus and whatever,
Well, there's this one really famous scene where it's come to the end of this bloody, brutal like, onslaught, and the Zulus are regrouped, and they line the mountains in their thousands, and they start singing their war song, and it's intimidating and brilliant, and Stanley Baker, who I'll talk about the actors in a second, but Stanley Baker, he's the captain, and he's like a novice captain. He hasn't ever had to do this before, but after like the film's gone on, he's kind of galvanised, and he rallies the Welsh, and so these Zulus are all adorned on these mountains, ready to charge. And they're singing, and Stanley Baker rallies the Welsh lads, who are all amazing singers, and in this choir, and he demands that they belt out a rendition, and like, he goes, "Sing, sing!" And the guy, I think he's called Owen as well, he like clears his throat, and he goes, and he belts out this rendition of Men of Harlech, and
oh yeah, it's beautiful, man. And also, it's what are the odds that every fucking Welshman stationed there was an absolute beautiful baritone as well.
One of the lines in it is, "You think you can sing better than them?" And he goes, "Oh, they've got a lovely bass line, but they haven't got the best." And he mentions like some choir terms, and it's a scene then of like a thousands of Zulus singing at a few hundred Welshmen.
"You think the Welsh can't do better than that, Owen?"
"Well, they've got a very good bass section, mind. But no top tenors, that's for sure.
Stop your dreaming, can't you see their spear points gleaming? See their warrior pennons streaming to this battlefield.
Sing!
Men of Harlech, stand ye steady.
Come on, sing!
They cannot be ever steady.
For the battle with a raging
and ever
Woohoo!